Well, it is ingrained into the fabric of our culture that certain aspects of life are sacred and undeniable, that they have been endowed by our Creator. These are actually some of the words of an early draft of the Declaration of Independence. This nation was predicated on the fact that there are certain rights that cannot be infringed upon. There is a sense of freedom and personal autonomy that affords us a lot of benefits here. But these freedoms, this individualism, this independence, was not something that simply could be declared. It was won. Others had to lay down their own rights, their own freedoms, their own lives, so that these inalienable rights might actually be inalienable. Freedom comes at a cost. Freedom requires sacrifice. And it's entitlement that is the enemy of freedom. Entitlement is nothing more than pride and self-service. There are some phrases that I'm sure are familiar to you. I remember in my childhood hearing things like, "It's a free country, I can do what I want. You can't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. I was first." I heard that a lot last couple weeks at VBS. No, me first. I was here first. No cutting. A few weeks ago, my family was getting ice cream, and we were in line, and there was a lady in front of us, and the worker came over to start to ask us what my family wanted. And I was like, "Oh, I think she was first." And I have not seen the look of indignation and disgust on somebody's face when the lady looked at us and looked at the worker and said, "Yeah, that's right." And I just thought, wow. Yeah, she was first, but that sense of entitlement is not what Christians are called to. Christians are called to humility and self-sacrifice. The Apostle Paul had some rights, certain rights, and yet he was willing to lay them all down for the sake of the gospel. This is one of the main themes of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 1, we're told that no human being is able to boast in the presence of God. We have no ability to boast before our Maker. In chapter 2, Paul tells the Corinthians that, "I decided to know nothing amongst you except Christ and him crucified, lest he put a stumbling block before them." We're told in chapter 3 that we are Christ. Paul tells the Corinthians, "You are Christ's. You belong to him. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Christ." Chapter 4, Paul tells the Corinthians that he is willing to become a fool for Christ's sake so that they might understand and accept the gospel message. In chapter 5, we're told that boasting is of no use, that the Corinthians' boasting was not good. Chapter 6, Paul says that all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. At the end of chapter 6, he says, "You are not your own." Chapter 7, we're told that husbands and wives do not have authority over their own bodies, but each the other. Chapter 8, we're told to take care that our rights don't somehow become a stumbling block for the gospel. So when Paul opens chapter 9 with this question, "Am I not free?" we ought to already know where he's going with that. Of course he is free, but as a Christ follower, he would gladly deny himself for the good of others and the glory of God. You know, it was interesting, when I was in college, I worked on this crew and we installed fire sprinklers at the campus where I went, the Bible school. And I was a foreman and I had a co-foreman, and we had this crew of other college students that worked with us. And so we'd take these breaks every day. And during our breaks, what do college Bible school students do? We have these theological debates for these 15 minutes that we're sitting there taking a break. And one of the things we talked about one day was what kind of rights we have. And it was interesting because we had some students that grew up in different cultures, some Americans, some that were just from different countries altogether. And so there was a lot of different ideas about what rights we have and where they come from and what we should do with them. And Paul gives us an idea of what we should do with our rights and how we should think about them and where they come from and how we should use them. Hear what he says to the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. He says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation... Oh, just by the way, oh, this is on the screen, but here's just a little insight into my philosophy. Some of it will be on the screen, some of it won't. So you should get out a Bible and follow along. And I do that because I want you in your Bibles, and if you bring them to church, you're more likely to be in them during the week and know where things are found and be able to find them again. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Listen to these words Paul says to the Philippians. Do nothing, nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Is this our attitude? I'm afraid we often find ourselves veering toward entitlement. I know I do. We must instead have what I like to call a Romans 12 attitude. Specifically verses 9 through 21. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Write that down. Look that up. Memorize that. Live that. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Here Paul explains how we ought to live in light of the good news of Christ. And one of the things he says is that we ought to outdo one another in showing honor. See, entitlement seeks honor. Christians seek to show honor to one another. There's a pastor, a retired pastor that I've gotten to know over the years, and sometimes a group of us would go out to lunch, and sometimes we'd meet here, and here this man who had given his life to ministry, is retired, he would often fight to sit in the back seat of the car, even though we would willingly give him the front seat because it's the privileged position. But he would have no part of it. He would always try to beat us to the back seat. And this every time I read this verse, I think of him and I think of how we ought to outdo one another in showing honor. We don't deserve anything. Christ deserves everything, and we need to lay down our rights for the sake of the gospel. If you hear nothing else today, hear this. Never put a barrier in the way of the gospel. Paul was an apostle. He had certain rights, certain benefits that were due to him by his position. But it was Paul's upward call. It was greater than his earthly status. So he sought to never put a barrier in the way of the gospel. And so hear that. Never put a barrier in the way of the gospel. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, we see that our freedoms are no excuse to be entitled so as to put a barrier in the way of the gospel. Our positions are no excuse. Our experiences are no excuse. Our rights, our God-given rights or otherwise, are no excuse and are still worth laying down for the sake of the gospel. We see in verse 1, this is point number 1, our freedoms and experience are no excuse. Paul had every reason to be supported by the Corinthians, but Paul has been talking the talk for the last eight chapters, and now he is showing that he walks the walk. He practices what he preaches, literally. That is, that he would never allow his own status, his own rights, his own freedoms to become a barrier to the gospel. On the contrary, Paul, in the book of Acts, appeals to his Roman citizenship, his right, and says, I'm going to claim this right so that I can advance the gospel, and he gets a free trip to Rome where he proclaims the gospel for 2 years or more. No, he would never use his rights as a barrier for the gospel. Look what he says in verse 1. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? He's saying, I am an apostle. I have every right to this. My freedom says yes. But he would never use that as a barrier and put a barrier in the place of others in the gospel. Likewise, our positions are no excuse. Look at chapter 9, verses 2 through 12. If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. At the very least, verse 2 says that Paul was an apostle to the Corinthians because he had been sent to them and they were proof of his work, because they were believing by the message that he brought to them. Likewise, he gives a couple examples here. He says in verse 3, he says, this is my defense, and to those who would examine me, do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas, who's Peter, by the way? And it's pronounced with a hard K, just so you know. It's a kappa in the Greek. Which is like a K, Cephas. Verse 6, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Here's the first example he gives. Do soldiers pay their own way? No. Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? No one. Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? No one. So why should Paul's position be any different? And yet, for the sake of the Corinthians, he was not willing to make use of any of these rights, any of his statuses, any of his freedoms. He goes on in the end of verse 12 and following, he says, or in verse 8, he says, do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for the oxen that God is concerned? I'm sure he was concerned to some degree with the oxen, but it was more for those who were doing God's work that God said these things. And yet Paul is not willing to take this position and take this right for the sake of the Corinthians and their acceptance of the gospel. Verse 9, for it is not written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for the oxen that God is concerned? Does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we who have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do we not even more? He's saying we have every right to make a living by the ministry that we have given to you. And yet Paul says, no. Nevertheless, he says, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Never put a barrier between those who don't know Christ and the gospel. Make it, as much as it depends on you, make it possible that they would hear and see and know and believe. And so for the Corinthians' sake, Paul did not make use of these rights. There are times when making use of our rights may hinder the gospel, and we must put the interests of others ahead of our own. Certainly the importance of the word of God proclaimed warrants a wage for those who spend their lives preaching the gospel, and yet Paul says, no, it would not benefit the Corinthians for me to do so. In fact, look what he goes on to say in the following verses. Verse 13 says, "Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision, for I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting." Then deprive me of my right to boast. And what is Paul boasting in? This is not entitlement. Paul's boasting was a boasting in Christ. Paul's boasting was a boasting in the work of Christ and the call of Christ. Paul's boasting is in his own weakness, recognizing that only by Christ does he have anything to boast in. He boasted in his weakness, knowing from where his strength came. This is what he tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. So I ask you today, what barriers are you putting between the gospel and those that God has providentially put in your path? Have you let a sense of entitlement destroy your witness? If Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, when he knew his hour had come, rose and laid aside his outer garments, knelt down and washed his disciples' feet, how much more are we to reject entitlement and serve one another? I mean, can you imagine, just imagine for a minute, put yourself in the disciples' shoes for a second, or I guess they weren't wearing shoes. Christ, God with us, true God from true God, light from light, the author and perfecter of our faith, the agent of all creation, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the first and the last, the bright and morning star, humbling himself to serve, to lay down his life. How then can we ever respond with a sense of entitlement? The King of kings would stoop down low and take the lowest form of a servant. How could we put our own wants and needs in the way of the gospel? What do I mean by this? How do these things show up in our lives? How does a sense of entitlement actually hinder the advancement of a gospel, of the gospel? Well, what are the things that we are letting in the way of the gospel? I think a self-assessment here is warranted. Hear these words. Some of you need an encouragement that you're on the right track. Some of you need a reminder. And some of you may need a gentle rebuke. Parents, have you put a barrier between the gospel and your children by making idols of their successes, their social calendar, their schooling, their happiness, their health? You know, all that does is create a sense of entitlement in our kids. Instead, point them to Christ. Make their spiritual development more important than anything else. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. That's what Jesus says. It's not that we shouldn't be concerned with other aspects of our children's lives, but our primary concern ought to be their faith. What good is it if our kids gain the whole world but lose their souls? Those of you who are retired, how are you spending your extra time? Have you devoted your time to never-ending leisure? Have you become entitled by your years of hard work that you now spend your time for yourself? That's not what we learned from Christ. Your kids still need your faithful witnesses, your grandchildren, your church even. I'm so encouraged when I see many of you who are retired serving in various ways around the church, especially at VBS. A couple weeks ago, we got the chance to celebrate Dave Niblock's 90th birthday. And he's on the spot here because he's in the service. But he is such an example of what this looks like to spend his retired years serving one another, serving others, giving of his time and his energy. He's been such an encouragement to the various Mexico teams as he drives his nice car to get washed by the students that do a terrible job, no offense. But all the kids know how encouraging it is, and you all greeted him as you came in, and were encouraged by him as he continues to serve. This is how we should spend the extra time we're given, not with a sense of entitlement that I deserve this or I deserve that. No, lay down your life for the sake of others, for the sake of the gospel. Those of you who are young, where do your priorities lie? Maybe you are living for a constant advancement in your career and leaving your family in a wake and those at your workplace in a wake. Maybe you're still a student. Are you missing out on being a light to those around you at school because you are more focused on how others perceive you? The lost world is watching. There are people in our lives who need to hear the message of freedom that the gospel offers. People at your schools, your workplaces, people in your families, your neighbors, your friends. How can we remove any barriers to the gospel, those around us? Why do we get so frustrated when things don't go our way? I think this is one of the ways entitlement pops up in my own life. When things don't go exactly how I want it, I get frustrated. But that's just entitlement. Remember, you are not your own. We belong to one another. We are Christ's. Paul already made this clear to the Corinthians. So hear Paul's words again to the Philippians chapter 3. This is not on the screen, so you do need to follow along with me. And I kept like, oh, I shouldn't read the whole thing. And I was like, no, but the whole thing is so good. So we're just going to read Philippians 3, starting in verse 4. Here Paul is basically giving his credentials. But then saying it's all worthless when you put it in perspective. Though I myself have reason for confidence, Paul says, in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, just like the Bible outlines, I've done everything just as it said, and yet he's Paul, and he didn't do this himself, so somebody did it for him. And he was born in the tribe of Benjamin, no control over that either, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. Now he starts giving what he has done. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul basically says, I did everything exactly how it was meant to be. I'm perfect. He didn't think that, but according to these standards, he met them. Verse 7, look what he says about all that. Whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as garbage, rubbish, trash, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Is this our attitude? He goes on, not that I have already obtained it, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. If we have received Christ, there is no place for entitlement. He goes on and says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell even with tears walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. This is entitlement. And notice how it destroys their freedom because they are bound by their own appetites, their own desires. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. You are not your own, church. Live your life in a way that exemplifies Christ, that makes others want what we have, putting no barriers in the way of them knowing him, even if it costs us. And it will cost us our time, our money, our energy. But we should rather die than have anyone take our reason for boasting in the cross of Christ and what Christ has accomplished and what Christ can accomplish, because we are not our own. We belong to him and we belong to one another. Let's pray. God, we thank you for what you have accomplished through your Son on the cross, that we might have life and have it abundantly. We thank you for this precious promise that you have entrusted us, the promise of life in your Son. We ask that we would be good stewards of the gifts that you have given each one of us, that we would not be entitled. We would seek you with every fiber of our being. We pray these things in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit.